Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Let's go into the Word of God today. I'm talking to you today about the cross, the place of exchange and change. Jesus' last words on the cross is, "It is finished." Can you say that? It is finished. Upon the cross, that's what Jesus said. It is finished. His life work was complete. In fact, at that moment, the veil in the temple that guarded the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was behind, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. God did that. At that moment, the new covenant began. Contrary to what you may have thought, the new covenant didn't begin at the gospel, the beginning of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was still Old Covenant time while Jesus was walking upon the earth. He obeyed the Sabbath. He kept the law. He did it all perfectly. That was still Old Testament time up until Jesus said, "It is finished." And at that moment, when the veil was rent, you can mark it in your Bibles, that's when the new covenant began. Everything changed. Everything changed. A man by the name of Saul, who you know later became Apostle Paul, said these words later on when he came to the revelation of the power of the cross and Jesus Christ being crucified. This brilliant man, who would be equivalent of probably three PhDs today, the man who knew the law backwards and forwards, the man who was steeped in religion, said these words, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more important than that, nothing above that, than Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He said the message, or the Messiah being on the cross, was the power and the wisdom of God. That's what he said. And in our Bibles, we read in 2 Peter, everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been given to us through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2 or chapter 1. Everything we need for life and godliness has been granted to us. How does the cross provide everything we need for life? Now we know that salvation comes from the cross. We know that forgiveness of sins comes from the cross. But salvation is much more than just forgiveness of sins. You've got to understand that. It's wonderful to have the forgiveness of sins, and that's incredible. That's necessary. But the cross is much more than just the forgiveness of sins. In fact, the word saved, the word salvation, in the Greek word is sozo. And it means all of these things here. To save, yes, to keep safe, to rescue from danger or destruction, to make well, heal, restore. It includes healing. It includes deliverance from demons and obstruction and harassment of the enemy. It includes everything you need for life and godliness. Now, it's not automatic. Just because you believe in salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, you say, "Well, I'm a Christian," it does not mean that automatically all these other parts and all these other things that have to do with salvation, sozo, are happening in your life. It's not an automatic thing. You find God's word through revelation. God opens your eyes. You see things that you've read before, but you'd never understood. You never saw it until He opens your eyes and you see something. And then you partake of that and you bring that into your life. That's part of sozo. That's part of the salvation. You find out it was more than just me getting saved. It was more than me just getting forgiven. It also includes me getting healing in my body, getting deliverance from my mind, getting my conscience purged from the torment that demons have been causing. And so much more. It was there all the time. The first time that you went to the cross to be saved, everything that you've ever needed was there. But you didn't see it maybe. You didn't understand it. And you just picked up the forgiveness of sin. And that's good. But there was so much more. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, this is God speaking, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to all who, and health to all their flesh. So much more in this word that God gives us. In Jesus, the word, everything that you'll ever need is already provided, but you have to find it. And you can go to church all your life and not find all that God has for you because you got to search for it. Since the very beginning of time, God has wanted oneness and fellowship with man. That's why he created us. He didn't create us to stick us on the blue planet and put us out there in the galaxy and say, now you just guys go live your life. He created us because he wants fellowship with us. Intimacy, into me, see. He wants intimacy with us. But you know, sin broke the oneness. But yet we also know that God provided a remedy for reconciliation with God. How? Through the cross. We know that. Think about it. When Adam and Eve sinned, they became self-conscious. They saw they were naked. They weren't just naked before. After they sinned, they were naked before. But now they became self-conscious. And they began to cover themselves with fig leaves because they were now self-conscious. Before sin, they were not self-conscious. They were God-conscious. But now they're self-conscious. They tried to cover themselves because they were self-conscious. And so God himself provided animal skins. There was blood spilt, and animal skins came to cover them. This is called atonement. Say that word with me. Atonement. God was providing atonement, which means covering. Atonement means covering. Then they had children, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel learned from their parents, Adam and Eve, how to approach God. There has to be a covering. Because we have inherited a sin nature that's contrary to the nature of God. And now because of this sin nature, we have to have a covering before we can come in the presence of a holy God. And they learned from their parents how to approach God. They learned how to provide an acceptable offering or sacrifice. And this sacrifice had blood, and it was to cover their sin so that they could approach God. The way of Abel, he took the firstling of his flock. The firstling of his flock, that was important. He learned that God deserves the first. He deserves the best, not the leftovers. And the firstling from his flock, he sacrificed to God, and God accepted it. And then the way of Cain, he brought an offering from the ground. There was no blood in it. There was no indication that it was even the first portion or the best portion of the offering of the ground. He did things his own way, instead of God's way. He decided to live by his instincts and do what he thought would be acceptable or should be acceptable to God. In Jude chapter, the only one chapter in Jude, verse 11, it says that there is a way of Cain, that there are men in the earth who go the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is to do things according to your own instincts. Do things according to the way you think it ought to be done, rather than obey God. And there was something about the blood that would temporarily cover a man's sin so that he could fellowship with God. God showed him, this is the way. Fast forward into the Old Testament, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and they were in bondage to Pharaoh. And God sent all the various plagues to make Pharaoh let his people go. The final plague was the death angel would come to every household. And the firstborn of that family would perish with this plague. Unless the blood of a lamb would be over the doorpost of that household. And those under the blood would be protected from the plague. And God said, I will pass over you and no plague will befall you when I strike the land of Egypt. God did not say, when I see the blood plus your righteous life. When I see the blood and your moral lifestyle. It was the blood alone that God looked for. Just the blood, and it protected from evil. The word atonement, cover. In the Hebrew, it's the word kippur, or kipper, some say. It means covering. The day of atonement, the Yom Kippur. The day of covering. And on this became a feast day, and it still is today for the Jews. On the Day of Atonement, the Old Testament priest would offer the sacrifice with blood, and the sin would be covered for 1 year. Everybody say 1 year. That's all. The sin would be covered for 1 year. How long would it last? He had to do it again next year. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, this is telling us about that. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. So the Day of Atonement was a reminder. We have sin. We need a covering, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Are you with me? The Day of Atonement is a reminder. There's sin and you need a covering. And every year, Day of Atonement would come. It was a reminder of the sin. In Hebrews 10:11, it says, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, come on, say it with me, which can never take away sin. So atonement is a covering, but it can't take away sin. It's just a covering. And in the temple and in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was no chair for the priest to sit down. His work was never done. He daily ministers. He does not sit down. His work is never done. Year after year, it was a reminder. The sin's not gone. It has to be covered. But when we come to the new covenant because of the cross, everything changes. Hallelujah. Everything changes. Verse 12, and it says, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Somebody ought to give God a praise. He sat down because his work was done. He said on the cross, it is finished. And he sat down at the right hand of God. And then there was no need for Jesus to stand up again. And then Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, everybody say one offering, he hath perfected forever. Would you say perfected forever? Perfected means perfect. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. How long is forever? And the result is there's no more sacrifices. You don't sacrifice anymore because he's perfected forever. And then verse 18. Now, where there is remission or forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Let that sink in. That's why we don't sacrifice. It's already done. And Jesus' sacrifice was not that like of a lamb or a goat. It was better. And his didn't atone for our sin. His blood removed our sin. It's not anywhere to be found. It no longer exists. It's not just covered, ladies and gentlemen. It vanished. It's removed. It's gone. And there's no other offering, no other offering, no other offering. And this has got to penetrate your conscience because somebody needs to be set free today, right here, right here. There's no other offering, no other offering. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. There's not even a stain. There's not even a stain. God looks at your record. There's not even a stain. You talking to God about your sin, and God says there's not even a trace. Well, what are you talking about? There's not even a trace here. It's not that God doesn't have a bad. He doesn't have a bad memory. No. It's not there. It's not there. But some of you don't believe that. I can prove it. Some of you don't believe it. And because of that, the devil is tormenting you and beating the daylights out of you. I'm telling you the truth. There has to be a breakdown before there can be a breakthrough. And what's standing in the way is your unbelief. Hold on. We say, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Some people should sing it this way. Jesus paid a lot, all the rest I owe. Because that's the way you're treating him. You're paying guilt payments for things that will never pay anything. You're paying guilt payments. Something that happened a long time ago. You asked God to forgive you. You believed he forgave you. You're born again. But every time that memory comes up, you pay guilt payments. I'm telling you, you're not free in that area. It's going to help you. After Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel. God showed up and he said, "Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper?" Can you see the disrespect in that tone? Can you see the disrespect in that question? Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? A disrespectful tone to God, obviously. And God said, "What have you done?" Cain never admitted anything. He never confessed. Instead, God said this, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. The voice of your brother's," what? Blood has a voice. That's what God said. He said, "The blood of your brother's, the voice of your brother's blood's crying out." I hear his blood. What was Abel's blood crying out to God? Vengeance, God, vengeance. He took my life, God. He stole my life. God, give me vengeance. He took my life from me, God. It's not right. I shouldn't have my life taken from me. He took my life. Avenge me, Father. God heard that. He heard it in the blood. The blood had a voice. And so Abel's blood spoke to God. And then we go to Hebrews 12:24. Look at this. Look closely. God says, "You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood of Jesus, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like that of the blood of Abel." Did you hear that? God said Abel's blood cries out for vengeance, but Jesus' blood cries out for forgiveness. That's why, even in the Passover, even though that was just atonement at that time, it was representative of the blood of Jesus that was yet to be spilled upon the ground. But when the blood was over the doorpost, and God was able to pass over because God was saying, "Forgiven." The blood speaks, "Forgiven. Forgiven." Not vengeance, but forgiven. And so today, when the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, the cry of the blood that God hears, wherever the blood of Jesus is applied, he cries out, "Forgiven. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven." And one application's all you need for a whole lifetime. For a whole lifetime. One application. When you, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God that pays for your sins. One application, whether it was when you really had the understanding and by faith you received, if it was a child, it still works today. If it was yesterday, it still works today. See, one application lasts a lifetime. We don't need to sell you another bottle for $19.95. One application lasts a lifetime and eternity. Now, why is this important? I mean no disrespect when I speak of this. But there are some of you who have, I guess it may be your religious upbringing, your background, or whatever it is. You do good for a while. You'll say, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm born again." And then something happens in your life. Maybe you slip up and you go back into sin, or maybe you backslide for a while. I don't know what all it is. And then when I give an invitation and you know the Spirit of God is moving in this place, and I'll call you to come forward if you lead you in to pray the prayer to receive Jesus, and you'll get up and you'll come again to the altar because you want to be saved. But you were saved the first application. But somebody's been messing with your mind, and in your conscience is not saved. And this conscience is what's bothering you. I'm saved, yes, I'm born. But you'll come up front and to be saved again. Now, I know there are some people that they were not saved and they're coming forward to be saved, and I thank God for that. I'm not trying. But some of you, you're in this trap, this cycle, this trap of the enemy where you're saved and then you're lost. You're saved and then you're lost. And you're saved and then you're lost. And then you're saved and then you're lost. And you're saved. And that's a trap of the enemy. If you need a revelation of how powerful the cross is and how powerful the blood of Jesus is, one application. In fact, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, written to Christians, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. And that word cleanses in a perfect tense. It means it's continuous, nonstop action. He's cleansing you. He has cleansed you. He will cleanse you. You are being cleansed. You are cleansed, 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 cleansed. There's not even a stain. And if this doesn't get in your head, if it doesn't sink in, if you don't get the revelation and the understanding, the accepting by faith what God has done, you'll be in this trap of the enemy, and he'll just play ping pong with your mind, and you'll go back and forth. Yeah, I'm saved. No, I'm not saved. Yeah, I'm saved. No, I'm not saved. Well, I'm living right. Boy, I'm saved. When I'm not living right, boy, I must be lost. I got to get saved. And you go back and forth and back and forth, and the only person you're looking at is you. God's never intended for you to be so self-conscious. Just like Adam and Eve, you're self-conscious instead of son-conscious, instead of God-conscious, instead of Jesus-conscious. Because what saved you in the first place? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses continuous, nonstop action us from all sin. Well, do we need to repent? Sure, you need to repent. And repentance is in your mind. Well, preacher, you preach that kind of thing, you're going to give people a license to sin. Listen, people don't need a license to sin. They're already doing it. They need the truth. And then you're in this religious trap, this cycle where you go around and around and around and around and around, and you need a revelation of how much God loves you and what he's done for you. And what's going to happen is this has got to seep into your conscience, because your conscience is not saved yet. Your spirit got saved, but your conscience isn't saved. And Satan knows it, and he torments you with the past. And he comes as an accuser of the brethren and reminds you, don't you remember what happened 20 years ago? Don't you remember what you did? Don't you? Oh, when you see, don't you remember? Oh, yeah. And you hang your head as if the blood of Jesus didn't do anything for you. You're in bondage. Here you are, been set free, saved by the blood of Jesus, but you're in bondage. Tormented in your mind when you see them, or when you remember, oh, I should have done better. I wished I'd have been a better mother. I wished I'd have been a better father. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. And there's not a thing you can do about it. And as far as God is concerned, one application of the blood of Jesus removed every bit of it. He never brings it to your attention. He never brings it before you. But the accuser of the brethren just has free reign in your life. He comes up and says, hey, let's talk about your past. And you sit down and say, okay. And you let him counsel you for an hour, and then you're feeling worse. And then what are you going to do? Well, now you got to cope with this mess you got in your head. Oh, man, I have messed up so many people's lives, and maybe you did hurt their lives. I did so many bad things. Oh, maybe you did. and you sit there and you dwell on that and you dwell on it. Now you got to cope with it. And the human psyche, the human soul is not capable of living under guilt and shame for lengthy periods of time without the body breaking down and sickness and disease enter inside you. And the blood of Jesus stopped all that, and you're allowing the enemy to come in and do what he wants to do. And so you try to cope with it. How are you going to cope with it? Well, everybody's got their own little coping way. Well, I'm just going to go out and get drunk with the boys and just forget about it. I'm going to escape for a while. You don't escape anything. I'm just going to go do some drugs, you know. I got to get rid of this stress, you know. I'm going to go get high and just forget about all this mess. Or I'm going to go do pornography and just forget about everything for a while. Or whatever it is. It's a coping mechanism. God never called you to cope. He called you to conquer. And he gave you the ability to do it. One drop of the blood of Jesus, if you'd stand up and speak up and declare it over your life, the enemy would hate that and he would flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Just remind him of the blood of Jesus. And someone said long ago, and I agree with this, they said, when the devil comes around reminding you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Tell him, oh yeah, yeah. You want to remind me of my, let me tell you where you're going, because it's already prophesied, devil. Every once in a while, I preach a sermon to the enemy. I do it. I really do. When he's on my case telling me all the bad things, I tell him, well, let me tell you something. It's already prophesied over you. It's in the Word of God. There is nobody hopeless in all the universe but you. Your doom is sure. You're headed to hell, a hellfire and destruction that you'll never get out of. There's no way you can be saved from it. You know it's true. Your days are numbered, and I'm telling you right now, I'm serving notice on you. You're already condemned. You need to preach to him. If he's bothering you, preach to him. Tell him. He can't stand that. He can't stand that. You say, well, what about confession of sin? I think you ought to. But confession of sin doesn't forgive your sin. You understand? Confession, the word confession means I agree. Yes, sir, I agree. I was wrong in this. Yes, sir, I agree. That was sin. I don't confess sin to remove sin. The blood of Jesus removes sin. The purpose of confession, listen closely. The purpose of confession is to remove the guilt and the shame, because it's in your mind. It's in your conscience. And so when you confess it, and you just declare the blood of Jesus has washed all of that. That's the right kind of confession. The blood of Jesus has forgiven me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus has removed it. And you get the guilt and the shame from your conscience. So the Holy Spirit will remind you, quit looking at your past. That's not God reminding you. And I've got to say something, and I don't mean, I'm not pointing it at any one particular person, because this happens all the time. Usually around Mother's Day, we honor all women in our church. We give them a flower, or we do something to honor the women. And many times on that day, women who have had an abortion many years ago, oh, the wound. It's painful. Even though it's 20, 30 years ago. You know why it's still painful? Because you haven't let the blood flow through your conscience. I'm not saying you won't have a memory of that. You'll remember that. You can't help but remember that was done. But the pain and the sting and the guilt and the shame and the hurt, if it's still there, the blood hasn't been able to flow down and remove that. And that ought to be the time where you can say, oh, Father, you forgave me. You never bring it up to me. You forgave me of that horrible thing. You forgave me. You released me. You remember it no more. And I don't have to go back and visit that. Even when I hear about it, I can just celebrate and I can get happy and excited that he forgave me. And that child is in your presence in the safe place. And I am forgiven. It's deliverance in your mind. See, the Old Testament sacrifices could never remove the consciousness of sin. Never could remove the consciousness of sin. That's why the Day of Atonement was every year. Every year, it was a reminder. God doesn't want you to have a reminder of your sin that he's removed. No matter how horrible. And if you're having a reminder every year, Mother's Day or whatever it is, of the something you've done in your life, and if you're having a reminder, you're still living in the Old Testament and you need to come on the other side of the cross, see? Because Jesus' blood doesn't just cover, it washes it away. And there's not even a stain. There's not even a stain. It's gone. It's gone. Hebrews 9:14. Just think how much more the blood of Jesus will purify our what? Our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered himself as God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. I don't know if you got that. You can raise your hands, you can dance and do all that stuff and still not be fully worshiping God because back in your conscience, you're carrying that guilt and that shame that Jesus died to remove. But preacher, you don't know how bad I was. No, you don't know how good God is. That's the problem. God's goodness is better than all your badness. And you don't have to have guilt and shame. You say, I got regret. You know, who doesn't have some regrets of wish I'd have made a better choice and wish I'd have done this and done that? There's no value in looking at that. But if you dwell on this stuff of the past and it haunts you, then what you're doing, it's keeping you from being able, like this verse says, so that we can worship the living God. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And you can't do that if you go around feeling guilty every time you see so-and-so, every time that something comes to your mind. You have a sin consciousness, and it bothers you. It just bothers you. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying the memory's not there, but the memory doesn't hurt anymore. The pain is gone. Sure, you remember, but it doesn't torment you anymore because you don't give the devil any place to do that. You become son conscious, Jesus conscious, so you can worship the living God. So here's how it works. Suppose you owe somebody a lot of money, more than you know than you're ever going to be able to repay them. You owe them money, and you know you're never going to be able to pay it back. So every time you see them, you feel a little awkward because you know, I promised to pay, but there's no way. I'm not going to be able to do it. And so you're a little uncomfortable every time you see them because you have in your conscience the awareness of the debt. Are you listening? You have in your conscience the awareness of the debt. But let's suppose let's suppose the debt was fully paid. I mean, completely paid off. Totally. You don't owe anything. When you go up to them and you see them again, you look differently. You look them straight in the eye. Because your conscience doesn't carry any debt anymore. You've got to have a breakdown before you have a breakthrough. You've got to have a breakdown. God wants to do something in people's lives today. He made that real clear to me. And he wants to do it in me too. There are areas of our soul that for some reason it hurts so bad, the pain is so bad, the memory is so bad, the guilt is so bad, the shame is so bad. Now, we would never say it, but somehow that memory is still there, and every time we remember it, it brings torment and shame and guilt that the blood of Jesus was able to remove. And some degree of doubt and unbelief in our minds is not allowing that to happen. So there's not freedom in your soul. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. You're saved because you get saved and your spirit gets sealed. But in your soul, the salvation, you're not able to pick up all the things. Remember we said at the beginning, everything pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us according to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's all been provided. It's all here. It's all over this altar. If you could see it in the spirit, it's like everything you'll ever need in your life is stacked up on this altar. There's jewels and treasures. It's all here. A pure conscience, a clean heart, everything you ever dreamed of having, gifts and talents and abilities and all the things, it's all just laying there. But remember, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let not them depart from before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all who find them. That's mine. I claim that one today. My conscience ain't going to be tormented anymore by my past. I claim that today for me. Every time you talk about abortion, it ain't going to bother me anymore because I'm going to say, the blood of Jesus is over me and has cleansed me of all my sin. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. And look, not everybody will do that, see. Most of the believers will never find all the treasures, it's within reach. It's within reach. It's there, right there. By faith, you find it. And it's already been provided. How? In the cross. Everything that you've ever wanted, all in the cross. Now, September comes up, the Jewish feast of Yom Kippur. I'm all for celebrating the feast. I think it's a good idea, as long as you understand the manifestation of that is Jesus. We don't atone for sin anymore. Jesus didn't atone for sin. He washed it away. So I've come up with a new feast, brand new. You've never heard of it. The word Yom means day, and Kippur means atonement or covering. I got a new one for you. So here's what I'm going to celebrate. You can celebrate with me if you want to. We're going to celebrate Yom Kippur. When something's kaput, it's gone forever. It's vanished. So we're going to celebrate Yom Kippur. Hallelujah. Brand new feast day. You never heard of that one before. Now, because of the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all sin, I celebrate Yom Kippur. My sins are kaput. They're gone.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.